So we're with Gerard Butler. I managed to catch up with one of the stars of The Phantom of the Opera.
The star.
I'm joking. Well, you know, he's not just shifting scenery around in this one. Is there
anybody else in this movie? I thought it was just me.
Well, no, there is. There's a couple of others. There's some girl I think that used to be in Brookside.
What's her name? Yeah. I have no idea. I always thought it was just me, the Phantom of the Opera. I thought it was just all about me. I'm always conned in these jobs, I'm telling you.
Now, listen, you, of course, play the Phantom, which is a massive role. How, firstly, did you find out that you'd got this gig?
Because somebody told me. This was a very strange process in getting a part, because from the first time I met Joel Schumacher, the director, he basically said, "What do you think of the script?" And I had just read it the night before, and had actually not really expected to love it, but I had, and I had read it whilst listening to the music at the same time, and it blew me away. And when I told Joe what I thought of it, he said, "Well, that's great, because I want you to play the Phantom." But I still had to go through the process of singing for Andrew Lloyd Webber, taking a bunch of singing lessons, and then they essentially said, "We're going to give you the role, but we just can't announce it yet." So I kept training, and it was a good month, 5 weeks after that I heard. So when I heard, it wasn't a huge shock, because I'd always kind of known, you know, and it would have been more of a shock if I'd found out that I didn't get it.
Now, Andrew Lloyd Webber apparently had seen you in the movie Dracula 2000 and thought, "That's our guy." I mean, what was it like working with Sir Andrew?
Is that right? Did he see me?
Apparently
in Dracula?
So.
I thought it was Joel that saw me in Dracula. Well, I suppose more than one person saw Dracula. That's not what I heard. I thought nobody watched it. But he's amazing, you know. He's actually very charming. He's funny. He's, you know, slightly insane, you know, which is great. And he was, I tell you, you know, I went from a process of feeling a bit out at sea and thinking, what am I doing? Not having been, a singer before this, and feeling, like I say, out of my depth, to finding him the most, how would you say, motivating, inspiring person to work with. Whenever he was around, I just felt like I could do anything, you know, which I didn't expect to happen, but it just did. And whenever he came into the recording sessions, he basically would just fill me with this confidence and say, "What do you think? Do what you want to do," you know, which I was really surprised about. And always I knew that he was loving what we were doing, because he would come in and say, "Guys, I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying this and how much I'm loving it." So that was great, you know.
I mean, is he really passionate about it?
Very. Well, he's such a passionate man, you know, so he feels things that aren't working, he feels that deeply, you know, and things that are working, he has to be very vocal about it. But through this movie, he would, which is a great thing, because you know if he's not happy, you're going to hear it. But in this movie, he was constantly, you know, just seemed to be telling us that he was flabbergasted and very happy with what was happening. So that really helps you, you know, rather than thinking, you know, "Oh my God," they're all sitting over going, "Shit, you know, what are we doing putting this guy in as the Phantom?"
Now, talking about the Phantom, I mean, one of the things you seem to bring to the role is this kind of dark, mysterious side. You know, this is something that I think that the director, Joel Schumacher, really wanted to bring across.
I guess. Well, he is a kind of dark, mysterious character, you know, but I think that, you know, if you were to, maybe I had more of an opportunity to do that on film than you would have in the stage, because if you just play too dark and mysterious on stage, it could come across as very, very dull. But what we were allowed to do in this is make things much more subtle, which is why, you know, some people question whether the Phantom could work. That's exactly why it can work, because essentially what is at the heart of this story is a beautiful, tragic love story, and that works. And you know, that works in small, subtle ways, when you can actually look into the eyes of the Phantom or Christine, or you can hear it in the voice. You don't have to bellow out the songs, you know, you can whisper them, you can. So, yeah.
Now, playing the character, I mean, a real series of different emotions. Could you relate to him?
Very much, because I have. And that's what surprised me when I read the script. I had never seen the Phantom. I read the script and I bought the soundtrack, and I listened to the soundtrack as I read the script. And by the end of it, I was sold, and I was, you know, I was wiping tears from my neck. And I thought, "Oh my God, I so know this guy," you know. And to me, that's, you know, when you get a chance to a role that you can really get your teeth into and give it all that, you know, that sensuality. And there's a bit of fun in there as well, but use every bit of power you have, but then every bit of vulnerability and sadness and weakness and, you know, and pain. Bring all of that in as well. To bring in things that are really at the opposite end of the continuum, you know, to kind of turn somebody on but make them cry at the same time is a challenge in what I love about acting.
That trademark mask, you know, famous the world over, and the Phantom's obviously disfigured face hidden under it. Did it take long in makeup for this? Because the effects on screen looked pretty impressive.
Yeah, it killed me. My least favourite part of this job. I've done prosthetics before, and sometimes I think I'd prefer to be shot in the head than go through them. You know, I actually get panicked knowing I'm going into it. And the first three makeup tests were 9 hours. Sitting in a chair with three people poking you in the face and gluing my lower eyelid to a piece of string that went down my back, and they pull my eye down via that. But then again, it looked fantastic. And psychologically, when you spend hours and hours in a mirror seeing yourself being made into something, you know, horribly deformed, it so helps you to go and perform, especially when you can feel it on your face. And also, after 5 hours of mental torture, you're kind of in the space to go and perform.
Well, you did some research into disfigurement, didn't you, briefly?
Yeah, you know, I got some. I kind of bothered a lot of people about getting some books and information on different societies and the different kinds of, you know, deformity. And actually, a couple of people in the movie had people very close to them who had similar deformities. So yeah.
Now, when I saw the film, I reckon the side of your fate now is. When I saw the film, I reckon the side of your face that wasn't hidden looked a little bit like Engelbert Humperdinck. With that, you know, you had the big sideburns going on. Is this, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but has that ever been said?
No, you're the first to say it, and I can't believe you just said that. Actually.
No, you know, seriously, someone else, I was in the waiting room here, and someone else said, yeah, looked a little bit like Engelbert Humperdinck with the, you know, the kind of...
Well, I can't honestly remember what I can't remember what he looked like, so, but I get the feeling that that's a huge insult, you know, and I can see by the look in your face that you know it is, you know, because I actually thought that I looked all right in the other half, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, you know.
Because, you know, as yourself, you're fairly dark, but, you know, you have the dark, slick back hair, you know, and the big Simon's going on, you know, quite a dashing character going on there.
Yeah, it's a bit, yeah, it was. I don't want to talk too much about how I looked, but yeah, I mean, it was a good look.
Yeah,
it's a good
not look. Bad, not bad for the ladies.
Who's that character? Jane Austen.
Mr.
I always forget his name. Not Pride and Prejudice.
No, I was thinking of that as well, actually.
I think we can just cut this bit. Anyway,
let's move on. Let's talk just finally. I mean, well, briefly, Phantom the Show, 18 years old this year. You saw it here in London, didn't you? What's made it last all of this time, do you think?
I don't know. I suppose it's the heart and soul of the piece, you know? I mean, it's very entertaining, it's very funny, but at the end of the day, as I said before, there is a really powerful love story in there that is... in some ways all about the underdog, you know, and I think people really relate to that, you know, that feeling of perhaps loving something so much or appreciating the imperfection and kind of ugliness in ourselves, you know, but especially I always feel about loving something so much, that fear that we all have of maybe never being able to be loved back, you know. We all kind of hope and expect that as if it's our right as humans to have that, to have companionship. And suddenly when you climb into somebody's head who can't even have that, it kind of rips you apart.
And just finally about your new film, I think it's out early next year now, isn't it?
Dear Frankie?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a gorgeous, sweet little movie that I did with Emily Mortimer and Sharon Small about a little deaf boy who... thinks he's writing letters to his father, only to realise that he's actually writing to his mother. And she gets caught out in a way and has to find somebody to play the boy's dad for a day. And I come in to do that. And it's such an unusual story, but told in the simplest way. It's like a fairy tale, you know. But I tell you, it's turned out to be an incredibly powerful little movie, you know. At the festivals, it's just gone down a storm. So I'm proud of that one. I'm proud of that one because that's something that Emily and I just did. We didn't expect much to happen with it, but we just thought, what a great little story, you know. And it seems to be about to take off.
Looking forward to seeing that. But before all that, looking forward to when this is released as well. Thank you for talking to us today. It's been fantastic. I apologise about the Engelbert Humperdinck thing. But thanks very much. Lovely to meet you. Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers.